Well, we move into ordinary time. And you might say, what is ordinary time? Well, we've celebrated, of course, Eastertide. We've celebrated the Feast of the Ascension. We've celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've celebrated Trinity Sunday. And last week, we celebrated Corpus Christi, which means now we go back into the regular lectionary. And we're reading, of course, in the Gospel, Luke's Gospel in this particular cycle. And we hear now of the daily life and work of our Lord going about things. But it may seem rather odd to hear that in the Gospel passage this morning, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, because we just went through all of that, remember? Lent, Easter, the whole thing. So it may seem a little bit odd, but the Gospel is broken up into two parts. The first part is Jesus and his disciples entering a Samaritan village. Now, the thing you have to know and understand in terms of context is Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. The Jews believed that Samaritans were absolute pagans, had no sense of worship of God, and no sense of anything other than themselves. And Samaritans looked upon Jewish people as being unclean and that sort of thing. So they just butted heads. Yet it's interesting, when we go on into Luke's Gospel, we hear the story of the Good Samaritan, who takes care of somebody along the side of the road. And in John's Gospel, of course, we hear that wonderful discourse between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Very powerful and moving story. But the Samaritans are not cast in very good light in this particular Gospel passage, at least the first part this morning. And so as they enter the village, they're not received well. Most of the places that Jesus went, he was received well, but here he's not. And so James and John, who were known as the sons of thunder, get sort of annoyed by this. And they say, Lord, should we not just call down fire and just consume this whole place? Now, this happened in the Book of the Kings. Maria laughs. Maria knows the story. The Book of the Kings, when Elijah, who we'll talk about in a second, confronted with some pagans, and people called down fire and had them all consumed. So John and James knew of this particular story and passage, and they were rather, shall we say, bold. And Jesus says, no, we're not going to destroy them. We're just going to move along. Kind of a good way to understand, turn the other cheek. And so they go on to the next village. But before we get to the next part of the Gospel, I want to go back up to the Book of the Kings. So in the Book of the Kings this morning, we hear of the call of Elisha. Elisha was the servant of Elijah, and Elisha would assume the mantle of a prophet after Elijah, the great prophet, was taken up. And so God instructs Elijah to go anoint the kings, as we heard, and to find Elisha and to cast his mantle upon him. And so Elijah, very obedient to God, finds Elisha, and he goes up to him and he casts the mantle on him. And Elisha realizes what is happening, but he shies back. And he says, no, I have to go do this before I go, and I have to go do this before I go. And Elijah says, no, you don't. No, you don't. This is important. You don't have to go do that. You have to go be obedient to God. So Elisha goes, and he slaughters all of the oxen, as we hear, and they have this great feast. So what was Elisha afraid of? Elisha was afraid of giving up two things. Elisha was afraid of giving up the security of what he knew, of his home, of his friends, of his family. Obviously, he had some wealth. If he had 12 yokes of oxen and he had some land, he was set. He didn't have to worry about most things. He was afraid to give up that security, to give up that familiarity of what he knew. He was also afraid to take risks. He was not quite sure what following Elijah would mean, what assuming the mantle of a prophet would look like, and what sort of risks he would have to take. Where would he have to give up something? Where would he have to learn something new? How would this risky business really work into the way he saw his life developing and coming about? And lastly, he was afraid to overcome obstacles. Because let's remember, being a prophet was no fun business. I mean, the prophets were scorned. Yes, they were messengers of God, but when the prophets spoke, they were calling the people back to repentance. They were calling the people back to God. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people these days don't like to hear that either. But they really didn't like to hear it back then. I mean, the prophets were stoned, they were beaten, and that sort of thing. And so Elisha was probably, as one could understand, a little leery of taking that responsibility and maybe putting himself in harm's way. We see the same thing, back to the gospel now, as Jesus goes on to the next village. And so he encounters various people along the way. And these people are often referred to as the later followers of Jesus. They're the ones who just sort of appear on the road. And so the first person that Jesus comes up to, he says, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, he was saying to him, "Are you really willing to give up that security of what you have? Because you may not know where you're going to lay your head. Are you really ready to take that risk? You say you are, you want to be a disciple, you want to follow. Do you really know what that means? Do you really understand what that cost is to you personally? And are you aware, being a disciple, what those obstacles, what those hardships, what those troubles really are? Because remember, all of the apostles after our Lord's resurrection and ascension were martyred. They gave their lives for the message of the gospel. They gave all. They overcame many things, but they gave their lives. And they go on a little further, and he says to another, came up to him and said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." He said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now that seems rather harsh, doesn't it? Let the dead bury the dead. Well, he probably was not talking about his father literally being dead. He was probably realizing that internal struggle he was beginning to feel between following the Lord, having a new revitalized spiritual life, and leaving that old spiritual life aside. He wasn't talking about literally burying his father. But again, he was not willing to give up that security of his family. He was not willing to take up that risk to follow the Lord Jesus. And he too was not sure of the obstacles that would be ahead of him. And then lastly, they come up to another people and another person, and he says, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now that too seems harsh, doesn't it? Just let me go say goodbye to my family, and I will follow you wherever you want me to go. But Jesus says, no. The gospel imperative requires an immediate response. It requires you at this moment to answer the call that is before you. Follow me. But it's rather odd that he says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, what does this mean? So who's ever plowed anything? Anybody ever plowed anything? Oh, good for you. All right. I have too, believe it or not. The true story. When I was at Neshota House, there were farms all around, so there was all this old farm equipment. And a couple of my classmates and myself wanted to plant a pumpkin patch for the kids. And we were given a piece of land, but the equipment, the tractor wasn't available. So we found this old hand plow, true story. So we thought we'd try to do some plowing so we could dig up the ground rather than use a shovel. So it had two straps on it, and so two of my friends have the straps, and I'm pushing, they're pulling, we're trying to make the furrows. It was not a pretty sight. And it was really, really, really hard work, and we didn't get very far with it. But the point of Jesus talking about not looking back is, you have to look forward when you're plowing, unless you don't want a straight line. Because if you don't look forward and maintain your focus, you're going to kind of go all over the place, which is sort of what we did, and eventually gave up and got shovels out and called it a day. But the point of Jesus was, you have to maintain your focus. Because if you look back, you're not going to know what's ahead, and your line is not going to be straight. In other words, he's saying, keep your eye on what is important. Keep your eye on the kingdom of God that is breaking in. Keep your eye on me as Lord and Savior. He too was not willing to give up the security. He was not willing to take risks, and he was not willing to try to overcome obstacles. So, when it comes to us, when it comes to security, what are we really talking about giving up? When we put our lives fully and completely into the hands of a living and true God, who is our Lord and Savior, it requires us to give up that security that we have, that we think we're in control of things. Now, there's some things it's good to be in control of. Your temper, your checkbook, your spending, that sort of thing. There's other things you let go in terms of spirituality, and you give them over to the one true living God. That is not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to realize that there are some things we simply cannot do, but God can do for us. Giving up that security is a very, very difficult thing, but that is exactly what God is calling us to do, to move to a different place. And that's risky business too, because it makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable because sometimes we don't want to rely on God. We want to rely on ourselves. It is risky business. And there are obstacles, there are troubles. Witnessing in this world, in this culture, to the one true God, Jesus Christ, is risky business. And it's very troubling because the world, for the most part out there, does not accept the one true living God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's self-centered, it's self-focused. I can do it, I can achieve power, money, position, that sort of thing. Jesus says, no, you focus on me, you focus on the Lord, you focus on the way, the truth, and the life. So I ask you this morning, what security are you willing to abandon to God? What risks are you willing to take? And what obstacles are you willing to overcome? I would point you to Jesus himself, who was willing to give all security of his friends, all security of those who worshiped and adored him. He was willing to take the risk to go to Jerusalem, to suffer, to die, and to rise. And he overcame the major obstacle, which was the cross, which was his death, his passion, and he overcame that by his resurrection. So what are you willing to sacrifice in terms of security, of risk, and of obstacles to be a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.